Talking, we're still working on the armor, and we're getting close to the end of the armor. We still got a few things now. Remember, next week Benny is going to be preaching, and the following week DC asked could he preach when I'm not here, so I said okay. But also, if just in case you don't see either one of them, you're going to see Brandon up here, so this, we're covered. We are absolutely covered. I did want to tell you this little story. A wealthy, very wealthy, religious old lady was a soft touch for any panhandler she happened to meet on the street. One day she met a very shabbily dressed man and impulsively pressed a $5 bill into his hand. She smiled warmly and whispered, "Godspeed." The next day, the shabbily dressed man knocked on the door of her house and said, "Here's your $100. She said, "Excuse me." He said, "Godspeed came in first and it paid 20-1. You keep that one. We're just about through with the armor. Again, last week, because it just meant so much, it was very strong. I stayed on with just, I felt led by the Lord to do this, to stay with the shield of faith. Now tonight, today we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. And again, this is so special because I don't think we quite always understand the power that is present in the armor of God. You got to remember, Paul spent a lot of time either in Roman prisons or either being escorted by Roman guards, and many times he was chained to Roman guards. And so he had a long time to look at these soldiers and put it as the armor of God. So he's just not just coming by this overnight, but this is because of his continual work while he was in bonds. And so just remember, sometimes you feel like you're all chained up. You know, you're all chained up, nowhere to go. Amen. Know that God is using that. You may feel like you're not going anywhere, you're not doing anything. God is not doing anything for you right now. You just feel like you're just stuck. Know that God is still doing something in you. Even when you're stuck, what I have discovered is when you're stuck, many times is when God is doing the most for you. So, do Ephesians chapter 6. That's all stand for the reading of the word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that even over there where Helene has ransacked that place and people have lost so many things, they still had the word of God hid in their heart. And even today, as we speak, hundreds are being baptized and pastors are saying that the churches are filling up in droves because of what's been going on. So even in the middle of turmoil, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of death, you're still there. You're still taking care of business. You're still working, God, and you're using your people also to make a difference. Bless all the workers that are over there. Help them to know what to say, what to do, when to be quiet, and just be your hand. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we praise your name and we thank you for it. Let this word today be very powerful and be remembered for a long time to come. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the Bible said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. On the way, tell somebody, tell the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Spiritual warfare, the armor of God. Here's just a few, to get us through here that we've been doing. You're going to get through this. People over in the mountains need to hear this. We need to hear this. You're going to get through this. Not because you are strong, but because God is strong. And of course, God tells us in Ephesians, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And know that God's strong arm is going to help you get through whatever you are facing. Amen? So, he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The devil knows that he cannot stop the building of the church. Here, we've got to keep this here because this is so important. He cannot stop the building of the church because Jesus is doing it. But he can try to stop the movement of the church because we are the ones that the Holy Spirit moves through. And so today, if you've been hindered in any way, if you allow things that shouldn't be allowed to deter you, to keep your mind in other places, to keep you preoccupied, to hold you back, know that this is spiritual warfare. It's part of spiritual warfare. And Satan is doing all he can. He knows he can't stop God from working in your life, but he can stop you from working in others' lives. And so remember, you can't let him do that. Amen? And so, moving right along. For weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Realize that we are equipped to win. God tells us to put on the whole armor of Paul. And when Paul's saying put on the whole armor of God, it's not a suggestion. It's not cherry pick what you want to do. It means in the strongest terms, you put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against what's coming against you. Has anybody noticed what's coming against the world lately? And you can hear people. Look, it drives me nuts when I hear people calling things that are bad good and calling things that are good bad, and actually getting people to believe it. The Bible says in the last days, if it weren't for him shortening the time, the very elect, the very ones, the strongest ones of God, will be deceived because of the rhetoric and of the things that are happening around us. So here's our radical protection, three categories, and we're going to talk about three categories. We've already talked about the first one, of course, and that is, ready, is have your loins girt about with truth. You got to have that truth. That's the Word of God. Everything, every piece of armor fits to the Word of God. It's held in place by the Word of God. God's got everything going in his Word, so you got to have his Word. On a lighter note, I was talking to somebody one day, and they said, what does the Bible say about that? And so I had a little tablet, and I pulled out my tablet, and they said, no, I want to hear from the Word. I said, this is the Word. And they said, no, it's not. It don't have leather on it. And I said, this is the Word of God. And they said, no, it's not. And so I held it to them, the scripture they're looking for. Matter of fact, it was a whole page of scripture. And they went, that's still not the Bible. That is a tablet. I said, God uses many things, and you don't have to have leather bound to be the Word of God. So just remember, we got so many things going on this day and time, and don't get hung up in little bitty things like that and let the devil win because of something, honestly, was a little on the crazy side. Okay? Now, it says, put on the whole armor of God. Oh, here we go. So the loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about that. I'm not going back in it. And the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that was very powerful because the nails were in the bottom of the shoes to give power to tread on anything, including people. Amen. Get out of the way. But here it is. Then we talked last week about the shield of faith. Roman soldiers owned two shields. One shield was a ceremonial shield. It was a little bitty round when they carried it around with them. Maybe it had medals on it and had their position on it. That was ceremonial, but the one for battle, the word used in Greek for that is really means door. And so this is a great big old thing, and it was so big they couldn't carry it as metal because they'd never be able to carry it. And it couldn't be wood because it wouldn't stand. So it's crazy because it is actually the shield of faith was composed of six or more layers of leather sewn together and so stiff, and they would anoint it every day with oil, and when they're getting ready to go into battle, they would put it and soak it in water. And why would they do all this? That's because they wanted to be able to quench the fiery darts. They would have fiery arrows shot at them. And when it would hit, there's six animal skins tied together and had oil and then water on the outside, it would put out the fiery darts. So it's very important we have God's anointing, and we've got His Word. The Holy Spirit is the oil. The Word is the water. So we've got to have this every day of our life. And here's what I've been waiting to get to. The helmet of salvation. Now, let's just park here for a while. Just park. Y'all holler, put the plow down. Put the plow down, Pastor. Put the plow down. There you go. Here we go. How many knows that the helmets of the Roman legion were iconic? How many of you remember looking at it? A great old big thing. It went around their face. It went down their back. It protected their neck. And it had looked like great old big horse hairs that went all the way down and all the way back of their neck. And you're thinking, they just showing off. Well, in one way they were, but it wasn't just showing off. Because it was made of leather and bronze plates. For their face, their neck, their cheek, even their nose. Some helmets were entirely metal. Everything on that helmet was metal with some leather and bronze, except for that plume of horsehair. Now, that plume of horsehair was not just there to look good. That horsehair wasn't feathers. It was horsehair. It was there because its job was to deflect the blows of the enemy when they've got the broadswords and when the arrows are coming. If it would hit that horsehair, it would change the direction of it. So if the armor didn't stop it and it went past them, it would be diverted because of that horsehair. So now, I'm going to stop. Take my time. It's so important. Why did God have to have a helmet of salvation? Sitting in here right now, maybe before you came, right now, maybe after you leave, there's going to be, and you've probably heard it this week, three things. I'm going to make it simple. Three things that Satan may whisper in your ear. There's others, but there's three major ones because he doesn't want you knowing the Word of God. Number one, he would get you to question God's truth. How? What would he say? Does God really say that? Did God say that? You listen to some politicians as they're trying to tell you what's good is bad, what's bad is good. They'll try to tell you even what God said. Second, not just get you to question God's truth, he'll get you to deny God's truth. No, God didn't say that. You ever heard that in your ear? Did God really say that? No, God didn't say that. Questioning God, denying God, and finally, Satan changes God's truth. He goes, no, this is what God actually said. Wow. Wow. You see, the helmet is a metaphor of God protecting your mind. If you want to take a soldier down quickly, take off his head. Whenever the monarchs, they wanted to get rid of monarchs back in the day in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, they didn't just take them and put them off on an island somewhere. What would they do? They would cut off their head. Marie Antoinette, think about that. They take the head off, because once they take the head off, everything else is rendered useless. When Henry VIII, I think it was Catherine, he was sending to the guillotine. He also sent her handmaid. And it was recorded that once they got up there, the handmaid didn't think she had done anything wrong for this to happen, and neither did Catherine. And it said that Catherine held her composure pretty good as they put her in the guillotine, but they said when her handmaid watched Catherine's head severed from her body and saw the bloody corpse as they threw it in the box, she went crazy. And they put her down on the guillotine, and she laid in her blood of Catherine, and they held her down, and they took off her head. Because once you take the head off, the body is rendered helpless. That's why Satan wants to play mind games with you. He's got a guillotine with your name on it. How many times have you seen Satan ruin the mind of somebody else and you quiver in fear because you're thinking, that person, they're the ones that got fooled, they're the ones that got sucked in, and you follow right behind them. So God calls for us to protect our mind. Paul warns us, you need to guard your thoughts. This is spiritual warfare. And because of spiritual warfare, Satan knows if he can get to hear the rest of it, it's not going to harm him. Matter of fact, he can take the rest of it and use it for his own good. If the devil can tamper with your thoughts, if the devil can tamper in your thoughts, he can meddle in your life. He can perceive, or he can touch the way you perceive Christ and his teachings, and he can infect your entire life. Infect and affect your entire life. He can fill your heart with fear, with dread, regret. And just like the guillotine, he may not physically put you on the guillotine, but once he gets there and starts working in that head. I remember when I was on the rescue squad, Dr. Sheldon was the medical examiner. And the very first man I picked up that had shot himself in the head, Dr. Sheldon took me down there and said, I'm going to show you something. Because I was asking him, why is all this going on down here? And he took my hand. And he said, the guy held the gun here. He said, but I want to take your hand and I'm going to show you something. And I felt every place that bullet bounced in his skull. He said that bullet has riddled his brain. if you let Satan get to you with his lies, it's like being injected, being shot. That lie will bounce back and forth in that head. You'll just run it over and over and over again. You'll think about it over and over and over again. He'll keep rehearsing it before you. And he will take you down. I want us to do something. Y'all turn to Genesis chapter 3. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go to those three questions I just talked about. Genesis chapter 3. If you don't know where Genesis is, just turn to the table of contents and take a right. If you don't know where Genesis is, actually you need to take a Bible course. Bad. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Stop. Let's go back here and look. Let's go back and look at this. The first thing he was doing was he was questioning God's truth. Did God really say that? Is that how God spoke it? Read a little further. And the woman said unto him, said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, woman, you shall not surely die. Number two, Satan denies God's truth. Wow. The very first sin in the garden, that's what he's doing. Then verse says in verse 5, or the Bible says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes were both opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The next thing, Satan changes God's truth. Did God really mean you were going to die? He didn't mean you were going to die. He meant you were going to be like him. And he's jealous. He doesn't want you to be like him. Well, actually, God wants us to be like his son. But not like this. So, because of all that, God gives us the helmet of salvation. So we can know what is happening when Satan tries to take off our head. When he tries to convince us. That God did not say that. God did not mean what he said. This is what God said. This is what he meant. When you start hearing that, know that lies are getting ready to be told by Satan in your mind. So now, let's go a little bit further. This is good stuff. Satan can't stand against God's word because he can't stand against God. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I've heard that scripture misquoted a million times. The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Satan loves that. He loves you saying that. Because if you're going to resist the devil on your own, go ahead. He loves it. Go ahead. There goes to the three lies again. It's more than just resist the devil and he will flee from you. It starts with read the whole verse. Submit yourself. Submit yourself to God. That word means literally to yield to somebody else's advice. Wow. Whose advice are we submitting to? God. I'm submitting myself. I'm submitting my ministry. I'm submitting my family, because that's what he tells me to do, to put it all in his hands. So I'm submitting to the advice of another. How many's ever heard somebody say continually, "Well, they say, well, they say, well, they say"? My grandmama, bless her heart, she always would come up with her and my granddaddy be arguing or something be happening, and she'd go, "Well, they say, well, you know what, they say." And finally one day my granddaddy looked at her and said, "Can I ask you?" She said, "What?" I said, and I won't say it like he said it, but he said, "Who is they?" And she went, "Well, you know who they is." He said, "If I knew, I wouldn't ask you. Who's they?" "Well, you know." In other words, she didn't know either. They say resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That is not how you do it. It's submit yourself not to they say, but submit yourself to Almighty God. Then it says resist. That takes us right back to where we're at. Having done all to stand, stand. After you put on your whole armor, after you've done everything, you stand. After you submit yourself unto God, you stand strong in him. Then you stand with the armor on you. So that word resist means to stand. Having done all to stand, stand. And he will flee, which means literally he will shun you. He will avoid you. He will run from you. That's how you do it. I've had people come to me and say, I tried to resist him. Like that 900-year-old joke about the woman. They had a budget, a very tight budget. She needed a new dress. And her husband said, "Now look, you know how much the budget is. Don't overdo it." She come back with the dress on 10 times what that budget was. And he said, "Why in the world did you buy something 10 times greater than what we said?" She said, "Well, after I put it on, I was looking in the mirror and I heard that little voice say, 'Man, don't you look good.'" He said, "That was the devil. Why didn't you say, 'Get thee behind me, Satan?'" She said, "I did." And he said, "It looks even better from back there." Styling and profiling. Satan's goal is to seize your mind, to paralyze it with fear. Wow. Lie to you, try to trick you, to get you thinking things people are thinking about you. I knew one guy one time, he thought everybody was talking about him. I took him to a football game one night. He couldn't even enjoy it because every time the teams got in the huddle, he thought they were talking about him. He'll paralyze you with fear, then he'll flood you with allegations that are not true. You'll never make it. You'll never be worth it. You're not good enough. You've been too bad. All the things you've ever done, God's holding it against you, and you'll never be able to make it. You watch. You're a nothing. You're a nobody. And when he does that, fear begins to take over more and more and more, and you don't even want to even get up out of bed because you think you're worthless and God's not going to use you. He captivates your thinking. He captivates your reasoning to convince you to believe that his lies are true. Wow. Then his fiery darts can then release their damnable destruction in your life and in your mind. You've been put on Satan's guillotine, and he's pulled the handle successfully. Wow. Of the counseling I do, whether it be at the detention center, whether it be here, whether it be in the grocery store, 90% of my counseling is helping the people understand the lie and to come against the lie with the truth. It's amazing the lies people believe and the way it harms people. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, meaning that you can't think and you cannot operate in the natural to fight Satan. Well, he'll get you doing it. You're swinging and he's holding your head. You ain't even touching him. You're just a swinging. Because he's got you fighting and operating in the natural. And that's what he wants you to do. And he's fighting you in the spiritual realm and beating you to no end. Weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God. That word pulling down means demolition. And of course, imaginations means logic, reasoning. Satan's lies are the exact opposite of the reasoning of God. Remember this, Satan's lies are the exact opposite of the reasoning of God. Bring it into captivity, which means to possess them like you would a war crime. I love this. Oop. Let's get this thing going here. Come on. Come on, Sally. Come on. Let's get this right. There you go. Anybody ever heard spam? You got a spam folder in your email. It gets aggravating when you see spam. Because it clogs up everything. It's just useless and it clogs up everything. How many know that Satan's got spam for all of us? Every day he's sending spam. And we don't put it in our spam folder. We take it and open it up. And then when you open it up, it winds up infecting you. Instead of letting it stay in the spam folder. Here's Satan's spam. Satan persistently attacks me. Don't think because you put on that helmet that it's going to stop. That helmet does not stop the attacks. It stops the penetration to the head. It's got the back of your neck. It's got your face. Everything's covered. Let the Word of God be the firewall of your life. I'm getting ready to close. We've all been issued a helmet of salvation, but it's up to you to pick it up. It's up to you to put it on. What is salvation? Let's look at salvation in a different way this morning. Salvation, of course, is being born again. It is having new life in Christ. The old man has passed away. The new man now is living and breathing like God would have us to do. But think of it this way. Salvation is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You can't save yourself. I've never seen a drowning man who could not swim and the water's over his head and there's nothing around him. I've never seen him save himself. He drowned. We can be condemned by ourselves, but not saved by ourselves. Only God can. In the world where everybody's trying to put up videos on YouTube and stuff on how to do things, I promise you, I've looked. There's no do-it-yourself Christian kits. There's not. Ain't seen one. If I saw one, I wouldn't trust it. One time Daniel was trying to be funny, and so he put up there on, I reckon it was YouTube or Facebook or something, how to change the oil in your car. First you want to get the motor running, rev the engine, pull the plug, rev the engine. What? And he went through all the things to do in the car and did right the opposite. And when we asked him about it, he said, it's a joke. It's just a big joke. And the response was, don't you know that joke, somebody's going to follow it and do exactly what you just said? There's no do-it-yourself Christians. You may be a self-made man in the part of the world, but when it comes to Christ, you're not a self-made man. You got to be a Christ-made man. Only Christ, only the blood of Christ can do it. Salvation is not the, listen to this carefully. Salvation is not the end of our journey. It's the end of our wanderings. Wow. Let that sink in. Salvation is not the end of our journey. Actually, it's the beginning. But it's the end of our wanderings. Because now we've got hope. Now we've got life, new life. Now we've got a new beginning. Now things have changed. Living waters spring up from the inside. Not only is it not the end of our journey, but the end of our wanderings, neither is it the end of our battle with sin. And we must understand the battlefield of our mind is constantly under assault. Do not raise your hand. Please don't. But how many here today, here, right now, had to fight to keep your mind on what I was saying? It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're mean. It's not because you're stupid. It's not because you aren't serious. It's because the enemy of your soul doesn't want you to hear this. I find myself many times, I know y'all have never done this, but I'm talking to somebody and they say a certain word and it's a key word, and all of a sudden I zone out. Especially guys with ADHD, well, we love to zone out. My wife will say, Linda to David. Bethany would do this. Bethany would grab my face and just pull it here and go, Dad. And I said, Linda, you do the same thing. So I'm walking around the house and I got two women going, Dad, honey. Somebody say the key word, a trigger word, and all of a sudden while I'm listening to somebody, I zone out. I may be looking you in the face, but I've zoned out. I have to constantly discipline myself not to zone out. The way I do it is I take notes. If I take notes, I'm not zoning out. Now you can raise your hands. How many here would be honest and say, you have felt that tugging on you from time to time, that zoning out? Now remember, spiritual warfare is Satan. He's trying to get your mind off of the relationship, trying to get your mind off what God's trying to do. He's trying to keep you messed up so that you cannot complete the goal. So if you have to, take notes. Take notes. Do whatever you can to stop the zoning out and to keep yourself on target, because that's part of the helmet of salvation. God doesn't want us zoning out. Okay? So now, Brandon, come on up here, bro. Play something softly. What did Christ wear on his head on the cross? So his body's whooped, ravished for our healing, blood shed for our salvation. But he's got that crown of thorns. Wow. He won the battle of our minds on that cross. And I'm glad that he wore that crown. Because that means I don't have to. There's times in everyone's life, and even today, if the truth be known, some of y'all are sitting here right now and the blood's running down your face because your mind is being attacked. You got to remember, Jesus took it for you. Not only did he take the stripes on his back, he took the crown of thorns on his head. Don't let Satan win. God's got this. God's got it. He's got it. He's got it. Don't fall for Satan's lies telling you that you're not good enough. You need to pick up his armor and apply it. And here it is what we've talked about. The belt of truth, his truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. That way, having done all to stand. Wow. I believe with all my heart that even those people over that's having those battles, losing everything with the hurricane, Satan has played with their minds. He's plagued their minds. And people over here has plagued our minds. And people form their little bitty opinions because we're thinking carnally. Here's where you trust God the most. When you understand things the least. do your best to trust God the most. Because that's going to get you through whatever you're trying to get through. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I love that picture. That's not just in the mountains of North Carolina. All over this place. 11-year-old girl, or boy, I'm not sure, it's a girl or boy, but 11-year-old child committed suicide this week. What's going through an 11-year-old's mind for them to feel so hopeless that they hang themselves? Satan is doing his best to attack our minds. Don't let him do it. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be here today and you're not as close to God as you would like to be. It could be Satan's telling you, well, you've been too bad. You've done too wrong. There's no way God would want to save you. Maybe you knew God. But you're hearing that same thing. Well, you've done prayed this prayer 25 times and said you'd never go back. And for 24 times, you went back. And God's saying, come. I'll take you. Today, if you're here and you'd say, I really, really, really desire salvation or a closer walk with God, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, I really need a closer walk. I need that closer walk. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Number one is don't listen to the lies of the enemy saying you're not good enough. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy saying you've been too bad or you can't live it. No, we can't live it. That's why it's called salvation. He jumps in and saves us. We can't save ourselves. We can condemn ourselves, but we can't save ourselves. Maybe you're here today and you feel the attacks of the enemy on your brain. The lies. And it makes you weary because you hear it all the time. And while he's lying to you, your flesh gets in and joins in. It's driving you up the wall. I'm here today to tell you there's that remedy, the helmet of salvation. Again, if you're here today, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're tired of your mind being attacked and you're ready for God to do something special today while nobody's looking around, would you just put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Today is a new day. Today is a special day. Today is a day that if you pick up that helmet and stick it on your head, the Roman soldier knew to bind it tightly against their neck. Bind it because it would protect their head from being knocked off by a battle axe or sword. It would keep their skull from being crushed. Put it on your head, bind it tight, and hold on to it. And the next time Satan tries to penetrate, here's your answer. You can't penetrate my helmet of salvation. You cannot penetrate my helmet of salvation. You can hit it, but you can't get in it. You can hit it, but you can't get in it. And just keep on moving and watch what God will do. I want y'all to say this with me. Pray with me. Lord, I rededicate my life, my ministry, my family, everything I am, everything I'll ever be, I rededicate it to you. I know I cannot, I must not, I will not try any longer to fight this on my own. I refuse to listen to the lies of the enemy, because it's not how good I am. It's about the goodness of my Savior. And I thank Him that He is good enough and He's taking care of business. I refuse to fall prey anymore in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God's got something very special for this church. At one time, this church was packed, and I've even seen it over the years. Sometimes it'd be packed, sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes it'd be packed, sometimes it wouldn't. And I understand that. I also understand that some folks, honestly, hasn't seen the need. I sit back and I think about when things happen like up in the mountains and things that's happened on our coast and the things that's happened, houses falling in to the sea. How, when stuff like that happens, people start realigning themselves with God. My challenge is to realign ourselves with God now, so when that stuff happens, we can be there for Him. It's coming. I know it happened over there, but you know what? It's not through. There's more things coming. And we are a prime target for all kinds of storms. It pays to be ready so that we can always help somebody else. God's got this. All the time He's got it. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Benny to dismiss us in prayer. And you want to talk to the guys. And Brother Steve wants to talk to the guys after this, okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.